So, we live in a world of compensation. We don't live in America where you try and throw yourself in the car to claim compensation. We do live in a world, I mentioned last week somewhere, that there are people that are upset when their train is delayed, and there are people that are quite excited when their train is delayed. Definitely when it comes to missing a plane, when the plane is delayed or it's cancelled, there are people that are upset, there are people that are happy. There's a whole business of, but I'm not going to go into all of that, but there's a, when your car gets smashed in, some people are very excited, they're going to make a lot of money on it. Some people, in fact, when it comes to selling houses, it's actually interesting. Compensation seems to flip on its... So you buy a house with a problem. I'll tell you a true story. I bought my house, and we came in there, and there's cut pipes in the loft. We didn't know this, but the boiler was broken, so the plumber turned on the water. We weren't living there. I came back in 2 days later, and if there had been a swimming pool on the bottom, it would have been filled, overflowing. Any, whatever size you wanted. There was however many litres a minute goes through that, those pipes were just coming from the loft all the way down to the bottom floor. My brand new kitchen was waterlogged. Don't worry, we made an insurance claim at the end of it, and I walked away happy. We redid all the carpeting, redid all this, redid all that. Loads of things went. My wife was quite excited. She got to choose what she wanted on the floors, not the previous people. Fine. But what happened? I mean, say, for example, there was no insurance. Even if there was, I'm going to claim... You know, you've sold me something broken. You sold me something, a problem with a defect. What, you know, in law, it's quite structured. I'm saying in the negotiation law, when it comes to when you could go buy an item, so you go back and claim compensation. Believe it or not, you'll know it better than the younger generation here. But there's something called buyers beware caveat emptor. So. If you're buying a house from me, I don't have to tell you anything. If you don't ask the right questions, I sell you a house that's got damp in it, that's mouldy. That if you don't ask the questions, I don't tell you, say a word. You get in there. There was a case in London, one of the lawyers told me recently, that it happened many years ago, but there was a guy bought a house that was infested by moths, but not just stem infested by moths. They were in the walls, they were living in the walls. He had to rip down 3/4 of the house and restart. And there's a big court case about it. I didn't go and be Ian to learn all the rashitos and all the different arguments. But the basic idea is, if you're buying it, it's your responsibility to check what's going on, and that's it. If I'm selling you, I sell you the house as is. And halacha, it's the exact opposite. If you buy any item, doesn't matter if it's land, it's a bottle of Coke, it's an MP3 player, it's an iPad, whatever you buy, you find the problem in it. You go back and you give the item back. Mekhtot. Simple. Quite. That's just first we see the exact difference. In law, you know, you have a time limitation. I recently had a train that was delayed. It's not Mekhtot. I'm just saying in that case, the grad will be no compensation I lost her. But I waited. I schlepped around till I got round. It was already past the 28 days. I get nothing back for it. In halacha, if you've got a claim to it, so you come back 100 years later. So much so, you can go to the guy's yorshim, you can go to the guy's descendants. You can't claim from their assets personally, but you can claim from the asset. So you had Reuven that had the son Shimon, that had the son Levi. And Reuven, 150 years ago, sold the property that had the problem in it to me. And my grandchildren find the problem and they can prove it was there. They have to prove it was there at the time of sale. They go back to Levi and they say, you've got assets from your grandfather. You've got a piece of land, you know, that your grandfather left over. I'm claiming back from that piece of land for the problems that was in it.
Some came from the kuchas.
Would it came from the kuchas? Most probably. I don't see why not. Would they have a shibud on it? I was trying to work out. Is it considered like a loan? Not sure. I'm not sure now. First glance, I thought, yeah, but I'm not sure. But no, because normally we say the reason why you claim from the kuchas is
because they would know about it.
They would know about it. But in this case, no, there's no coil. What do you know about it? I don't know. Lamed l'shem chayin ain yedir. But if you use the item, this is where the halacha changes. If you use the item after you saw it, so I saw there's a problem, I carried on using the item, that's considered like a mechila, and that's it. Then your time is up, your whole claim is over. Grad is a mechila. So grad, there is a case, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, there's a case, a guy was on the way to London with his horse, and he finds a problem on the way to London. So he learned halacha, he can't use it after he found the moon. So would, does he have to get off the horse and walk the horse back to London? Or in our case, does he have to get out of his car and push the car all the way back to Manchester? So Lochias doesn't have to plead, doesn't have to do that. He can come back in the car. My question started, I mean, my understanding is that that's not called a mechila because there's nothing else he can do. He's halfway to London, he's in this car that he bought yesterday from the car dealer, and he finds a problem that he's entitled to give back the car. So there's a serious problem, the engine's gone, whatever it was, and he can prove it was there at the time of whatever fact. He's on the way to London for a business meeting. If he gets out, if he turns around the car and drives back to Manchester, that's no problem. He gives back the car dealer. But he needs to go to London, he needs to be there for a week. Can he carry on driving, go to London,
and then come back?
Or alternatively, he bought a barbecue and he's gone to Spain and he comes and he found that some of the utensils in this whole barbecue kit he spent £150 are broken. He wants to give back the whole barbecue kit, but this is what he's planning on cooking all his food on, because he only bought with barbecue. It's got nice weather in Spain, it's not like in England. And he, that's how he's planning on sorting out what he's supposed to do. So at first glance, I felt that he wasn't allowed to carry on to London. He has to turn around. Although he's saying, I'm standing to make a loss. But by going to London, the halacha is, if you carry on using it afterwards, you can't come back with all sorts of svaras and the poskim talk about it. Nevertheless, the first time I met Reb Chaim Krauss, my Rosh Chabura, he told me, I spoke to him about this sugya, and he told me there's a tshuva minchas pitim, Rimei Arik. They write that, you know, within reason, what's called normal, you're standing in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah, you get an Asana Tokif, and you realize there's 7 pages missing of your brand new machzor. You don't have to close. Sorry, it happened to you?
Not that part, but.
A different.
It's in my ear.
So what did you do?
I haven't even taken it back every year by sucking.
No.
I need to take this back.
No. So there.
I'll make it after a minute then.
The halacha, so there's two things. I'm talking about he's standing in the middle of the first time he finds it, Rosh Hashanah davening. And he realizes that it's missing pages. Is he allowed to carry on using it for this Rosh Hashanah and then take it back afterwards?
Sure, exactly.
But there's definitely no heter to carry on using it next Rosh Hashanah, and then take it back. You definitely lose your right. Sorry?
Not involved.
Fine. Mechila, fine. That's your whole mechila. But I'm saying, but even if you were bothered about it and you say, well, I've got my rights, but I actually can't get around to it. Or say, for example, you bought your machzor in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, and you're not going to go there for 2-3 more years. You still won't be allowed to. There's definitely no heter. There's a heter. You can do what you want. It's your machzor. You can't use the machzor now the next 4 sukkahs and then give it back. The question is, you're holding in the middle of this Rosh Hashanah davening. So Reb Chaim Krauss told me, isn't this Rosh Hashanah davening you're allowed to finish off using it, and you're allowed to carry on to your business meeting in London and come back? Because that's not called mechila, because what else are you supposed to do with this story? Yeah? You're stuck in the rut. Nevertheless, I feel that when it comes to the case of the barbecue in Spain, we're going to take certain things into consideration here. You know, What exactly happened here? Could he find a different barbecue? I had a true story that happened to me. I was in St. Andrews 1 year when I was a bocher, and we had a seaside next. Beautiful over there. Have you been there? And a bunch of boys, not telling everyone this is what it's safe to do, but it was officially a safe beach, and what we're going to do Friday morning. I went to the local Argos. Went to the local Argos back in the day when it was like very lenient. I bought a rubber dinghy. Mm-hmm. We split it between us, about 4 of us, whatever it was. The price was about £25. Mm-hmm. And we were going to swimming trunks and rubber dinghy out to sea. Mm-hmm. And we were having a grand time. The only problem was I realized the oars are broken. So what we carried on doing was, I'm not stepping back to Argos, which an hour back and an hour forward. We used the dinghy all morning and we took it back. Now, al pi halacha is definitely not called a mechila. It is called a mechila. Because I'm saying that I can't be bothered schlepping it back to Argos and then getting a new one and bringing it back to the campsite. I just went back once to Argos, gave the whole thing back after we finished using it because the oars were broken from the beginning, I need my money back. And what we did was to move around the rubber dinghy, we had the strings and all the boys pulled it. It was a grand thing. Don't worry, I've not changed much in all the years since. But if you see a guy pulling a thing, you'll know who it is. But there's definitely no, there's no claim on that one to say, well, I'm stuck here. And the same in the barbecue. If within reason you can get half an hour away, you can get another grills, and by using it, you're giving mechila, pihalocha. I'm not saying how the English courts and how the English system views it and what's called understandings and all these things. But generally, you know, if you've used it afterwards, there's mechila. And only if you're stuck in a situation. So I felt stuck in this middle of a situation, Rosh Hashanah davening is not called stuck in a situation. That was my feelings. Stuck on the way to London, it's inconvenienced. It's not Kostak. Where he felt when he brought down Chuvas from Eric, that's Kostak in a situation.
If you had Lamachso, then maybe not.
Yeah, but I felt even without that, you don't have to daven from a machzor. You'll share with your neighbour, you'll work something out, you'll use a siddur for part of the time. I felt that's not really cool. It means the Shulchan Aruch's nusach is you don't have to get off the horse and take the horse by the hand. There's a far difference between that and then also taking it to London or finishing the whole Rosh Hashanah davening and using the rest of the thing. And it's not a claim that what are they going to do? What are they going to do with the machzor? I don't know what they're going to do with the machzor. They're going to put it under the pillow. I have no idea what they're going to use it. They're going to recycle it and use it again and start the machzor. It makes no difference they're going to use it. If you use the machzor, you're portraying, you're bringing out, you're being moichelit. You've been moichel the fact that they've, you know, ripped, they've done something, ripped you off and sold you a dead
act. Maybe that might be a nafkamin. As what they would do with the Tosfos anyway.
No, I don't think so.
Because to them, they might just say, throw it out anyway.
Yeah, but
you might not be bothered.
Yeah, but so what? When you're using it without checking them, with the Amazon delivery, sometimes, have you gotten you call them and they just tell you keep it.
Yeah. And they give you full refund.
Fine, I'm saying, but...
We'll do that all the time. It's not ethically allowed.
It's not a problem. As long as you're transparent, let me tell them what's going on. That's not a problem.
No, but I'm saying when there's not really a problem, you just call and damper to get your money back.
It depends. Is there a real problem that you're zoning in on? You know, you found a scratch in it. You call them, I'm so upset there's a scratch in it. Well, there is a scratch on it. And you're just exaggerating your feelings. That I wouldn't have thought there's a problem. The guy on the other hand, the other line should say, I think you should speak it over with your mother and she'll calm you that there's a scratch.
They don't.
Like, you're saying there's a real scratch in it. Whereas when you call them up and tell them there's a scratch on it and there isn't, that's a different story.
Yeah.
And that would be if you tell them the true facts and they decide that they're taking a ride. The problem is where there's a, you know for a fact there's a Yiddish seller and they're forcing the Yiddish seller to give it back to you, when really you're not entitled to anything. Not really according to their laws, just be there because they're a rough company.
Yeah,
and not all sellers like them because of that. They're quite rough. I wouldn't have thought that that's allowed. If you know for a fact there's a Yiddish seller and it's not... I mean, there are certain menhagim which we'll hopefully see that. There's normal norms. I think, sometimes Amazon take it to the nth degree.
But Argos in those days, that was quite acceptable.
Sorry?
Argos was quite acceptable in those days.
Yeah.
And I also asked Rav Falk that, and he says, Argos Gemach was perfectly mutter.
Yeah.
Because they knew fine well that people would bring things back.
Yeah.
But their intention was that people would either forget to bring things back, or they would actually decide to keep it.
Even further than that, where you have things that they're not halachically required up halacha to take it back. No, that's what they accept. Fine, I'm not saying that's what I'm not going to. I mean, there's a guy that once bought a pot from I think it was Sainsbury's, which is a partner of Argos. Yeah, and he found he had a sticker on it, Besari Fleishig Teuvelt. It's a true story.
Don't need to
mean that. I think the other guy did the wrong thing. Never mind.
Probably would need to fill again.
It would, yeah.
He needs to knock some sense into him.
I still wouldn't need to.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but the ones that's been told. I told for my personal use, but I didn't tell it for you.
It was owned by a goy again.
I was owned by a goy, yeah. We need to feel again, yeah. It's very funny. Sorry, Vincent. So there's no such a thing as asking for a partial refund. If there's a problem with the item, you get your full money back. And so to the seller also can't, the seller can't ask you for a partial refund, and you can't say, I like this item very much, you want a partial refund. Fine.
Would wear and tear count then?
We don't wear and tear.
For example, you buy a car, 6 months down the line, a problem which has now become apparent.
So you're saying it was there at time of sale?
You weren't aware of it.
So if it was tackled at time of sale, so we're going to talk about what do you do about those 6 months soon. But let's talk about it now. You had a car, you bought a car and you found a defect now. But you know for a fact that a defect was there at the time of sale. So you have to prove that.
Yeah.
Once you finish proving that, then you're allowed to give it back. What about the time, you forget the wear and tear, you used it for 6 months.
Yeah.
And the paskim now, you've got to pay for the rent. So it's not always worth your while to give it back, because a rent of a car for a day was going to cost you, let's say, £25, you know, the best
cheap.
Possible, yeah, mm-hmm. cheap. Times that by 180 days is Madman Mutt is about £4,000, and then you've got, and the car costs you £1,000. So you'll give him back £4,000. He'll give you £1,000. I'd love to do business with you if you were the one giving me the £4,000.
Not you, because the car's going to cost him £50,000.
No, no, I don't want a second-hand car. Costs about £1,000. A cheap car, small Fiat Yaris.
It's going to cost you £25,000.
£25,000. How much going to cost you?
Because there's no rental company rents out cheap cars. I was looking to rent. I was going with someone to rent a car. All the cars was the new 23 or 24 plates.
Okay, fine. So what was it cost for Fiat Yaris into the like a?
Because Yaris is for all the 20 second-hand cars.
Yeah, I'm saying here in England.
It's not true, because that's only you go to a company and they have to mark it up and they have to cover insurance costs and everything. If I went to a private person and asked them, you got £1,000 car, can I rent it for half a year? They'll tell you £200. Whatever it is.
I don't think they'll tell you okay, fine. So you want to say that you'll take a private rental company and you say you want to rent it half a year rather than per day. I'm going to accept that.
It's
not going to be a lot of times the private people. I mean, I've had a car that I've been trying to rent out, and a lot of times the private people do also charge quite a bit. It's not always so. It won't charge you £500. The guy would probably charge you per week. I don't know if you'll find a guy that'll rent you a car for a half year. Probably rent you per week, which would be cheaper than £25, £100 a week, and you've got 25 weeks, it'll cost you £2,500. No, ask around. It'll still cost you quite a bit. If it's for a year, it definitely won't.
But this includes insurance, though.
No, when it comes to private people, they try their best to take what they can, and they don't really reckon with normal things because there is no markets. They take the best, the maximum they can. They'll cost you more once you get to that state. Even if not, fine. So you have to. That's what you're weighing up. You're weighing up that you're gonna have to pay for the rent. Otherwise, it's a gnaver that you used it. And on the other side, are you gonna get your money back? So. It's interesting that you can't generally say, I'll repair the item. You know, if you had a house that was sinking, in the case that Shochnar brings, there was a guy that was selling a house, both in one holiday and away for extended stay. And they both knew which house was for sale. And on holiday, they made the appropriate kinyanim and sold the house. They came back and they found squatters in the house. They had that, those in the town of the Gomorrah as well. And the squatters there had ripped out windows, ripped out doors, made a right mess of the thing. And the buyer wanted to back out the whole sale. And the seller said, I'll give you the few £1,000 it cost to fix up and fix it up. And
when did the squatters do it?
We know for a fact they did it before the sale. Right. So we have Aiden, whatever it was, we know they did it before the sale.
Same story with the car.
Oh, so the master Shochnarach writes over here, it's fascinating, that if you find a defect which is in the Guf HaChefetz, which changes the whole item. The item is not an item, so you get a house and there's no walls to it. Yeah, you buy a car and it's really a toy car, not a real car. Buy a car and it doesn't have the engine, so it's not a car. And to put in a new engine, yeah, it's going to be, or it's missing seats. It's not a car as it is.
So it's just got tires missing or something.
So the question is, what is it? What is a car? We're going to struggle in tires. But say, for example, the air conditioning is broken. And say we're going to accept that the fact that that's a Mekach Tos. Nevertheless, the seller can say, I'll give you a partial refund, but I'll give you the money it costs to fix the aircon, and you've got to go and fix the aircon. The tirich is on the buyer, and then the sale's a good sale. So windows and doors, for example, the Shulchan Aruch accepts that that's not a problem. The Guf HaChefetz doesn't take away from the name house. House is door, is walls and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So if the carpets are missing in those cases, I think also, in those cases, you just have to pay for the carpets or for the windows or doors, and then the sale goes through. So it's a whole new set of halachas. So what happens if he makes a condition? So we know in auctions you'll find sold a scene, or you'll make a condition that, listen, I don't know what's going on here. There could be problems with the house. You accept it without any comeback, and I'll sell you the house. So we don't accept that. We don't say that's a good thing, a good tonight. And there's two reasons why it's possible. Pashtus, as far as I'm concerned, the reason why we go with it is because the buyer comes back, and I think it's more than a smachta. That's what we want to say. It's a smachta, and we want to say it's davar she'ein l'kitzvah, because we don't know how much he's being moichel. But Pashtus, the smal wants to compare it to, the shach wants to compare it to a nor, which the guy says, I was willing to be moichel you £500. I was never willing to be moichel you £20,000. He told me there's some sort of small problem with the house. I got inside the house. I've never seen such a
problem. The actual value
of the
item.
When you buy a house in auction, that's what you come to expect.
No, I expect I'd never buy a house in an auction expecting to get ripped off. I buy a house in an auction because I always expect good deals. The worst Shabbos of my life was when I bought a raffle ticket. I never did it again. The whole Shabbos I was busy thinking about, what am I going to do with the money? So I'm strange, yeah? I'm joking. What I'm saying, but what I mean to say is, when you buy a house in an auction, do you honestly believe every guy expects to find problems?
Yeah.
Okay, how big?
Very big.
Okay, I bought a house for £500,000 in an auction. How much do you think the house is going to be? I expect the house to be worth?
Could be up to... I would just say you have to assume for 20%.
Really? I mean, get a 20% problem with it. No, I don't think any right guy in his right mind would do that.
But in generally, in the market, when you...
Yeah, I mean,
if you're not here, because here you're dealing with Yidden, first of all.
No.
I say it's going to be much less problems. When you're talking about tenanted houses, I just saw someone who bought a house and he spent 9 months getting it fixed up. He couldn't view it beforehand, no viewing.
Okay.
And the electricity needed redoing, there was no electricity connection to the house. And a whole lot of serious problems.
Did he ever buy a house in auction again?
Not yet.
But he's probably going to, and what's he expecting next time?
And he's quite expecting the same thing. And
he's mad. No one expects a house. And
he's
with
not
good
mad
things.
Because
no one expects to buy a house. Because
he
problems.
He cheshmed that into the price.
So he's cheshmed it to a level. Then you're saying very well. He's cheshmeding it to a level.
When someone buys a house as an investment, so let's say the house is going to be £500,000.
Right.
So you're going to try and find a house that's 450.
Right.
And you're hoping that you'll get it for 450 and it'll cost you nothing.
Okay.
And then you'll have made £50,000 before you started.
Yeah.
But could be it cost you £100 to repair and you'll have lost £50 on it.
Okay. What happens when it's £200 down the drain?
What do you mean £200? There's no walls?
That means the house is moth infested, like the case in London. You've got to rip down certain walls, it's sinking, there's damp, it's mould. The whole thing is a sham. And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, but there are things. No, but I'm saying, you're saying that you expect the house to find 100, to make a loss of 50. I don't believe people expect to make a loss of 50.
Otherwise, we can buy it.
That's what I think. But I think also for this, we're both agreeing. There's a certain level.
Bought a house. He spent 30% of the price of the house.
Yeah, okay. That was a chiddush. I believe that most people when they buy a house know that there's a certain amount that's going to go wrong with it. They don't expect it to go wrong over one level. Whatever you call it 30, I'll call it 10%.
You're coming from a perspective. Are you buying a house for you to move into?
No.
In a business world, it's not like that.
Yeah, but you want to
buy a house, you find the best price, and there will be a lot of things wrong with
it. Yeah, I know, but you want to still make a profit at the end. You don't expect every deal you go to do to buy. You expect after out of every 10 deals, you'll find one problem I spoke to an investment company. There's an investment company here in town, and what he does is that he puts aside £5,000 from every time he makes every house. He's buying houses about £100,000, so it's 5%. He puts aside for a rainy day when things go wrong in the house. So he has a bank out for that, and then he says he's once had a case where it was worse than he thought, till 5%, he's expecting. The minute it goes over that, he's not expecting anymore. Every person has a business plan they go to.
It's not he's not expecting it. It's just in the business world, you're going to have to take risks like that. You can't just walk in
But he's not expecting it. He's taking a risk, but he's not expecting it, and therefore he never forgave the loss. He's not doing mechila. You have to be sane, and you have to know that there might be losses. But does that give mechila? Does that give mechila because I know that it might happen?
It's not like that in the business world.
It's not.
I can tell you, because I'm working in the business. In that business world, it's not like that. You expect to make a profit on most deals, except that, and you know,
I'm not talking about buying to resell, I'm talking about buying buy to let. So you've got capital growth and you've got the rent itself.
The rent itself is very small. That I can tell you even without really sitting in that world, but not with my the rent itself helps you, is a nice boon, but it's not really what
the rent doing. They usually pays your mortgage. And where you make your money is in the capital growth afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you're saying it was a case of no, basically, in fact, because the house was
There's no mechila. Even more than the value. I never expected to have. Forget about the value. I went heavily into the value. I never expected the mechila such big problems.
Yeah, but there is so much. The house was therefore not worth that money.
Yeah, but even if it was worth that money, but it was just such big problems of defects. I find you a case that Lamassa, the house was worth more than I thought it was. Yeah. And therefore the value balances out, but there's so much hassle that he's doing, and therefore I was never mechil that level of hassle. No, I think he's right. There's a certain level of mechila that you have. Yeah. I think he's also bringing out the point that there is a level that every guy has different levels probably, but I'm saying where I say sold a scene, which is an open-ended term, there's probably, there is some problems with this house and you're being mechalit. Then my assumption is, whatever my assumption is, yours
there will
is
be your, no mechalit.
Yeah, there'll be no mechalit because once it goes higher than that, then that's it. Grada the smas is by a no, that we have the 1/6 and higher than the 1/6, that if you say that there is a no on this item and you're being mechalit, and at the end we find out there's only exactly 1/6, so there you can't say, I expected to find less. Because you know the reason why you're doing this is because 1/6 you can get your money back, and therefore the reason why you're stipulating, but once it comes to Nakatos, there's no, it's never ending. I thought it'd be a tiny one. I thought it'd be one little moth in the corner. Fine. So sold the scene is not really gonna help you today's day and age. I'd rather just now, just on the way here, I spoke to Marish Kola right to him. There's also the problem of Gnevis Das so Gnevis Das by a goy won't be. He wanted to tie in that sold a scene, selling a house in auction with a problem to a goy won't be a problem because there's no Gnevis Das. And he's told me also because of Dovish in the Kitzvah, we won't have Baragoy because not Mamish being Gneva. Lemasa, I think I understood, my understanding of the Simon is that the Shach goes very strongly with the Shach, the Smag goes very strongly that he's comparing it to a Noah, which means that there's not Mechila above a certain level, which is comparing it to the Gneva. And the minute you go with that, and the Goy and the Yidra is exactly the same. So even though the Goy is not, you got no problem with charging him, but the Mumba Mekach, I think you do have the problem with.
What's a Gnevis Das? It's a Gnevis Das where you do something which will not turn to steam. For example, you've got damp on the walls. You know it's damp.
Yeah.
And what you do is you paper just before you sell.
Yeah.
So you can't see it.
Yeah.
So the Gnevis Das is you're now doing something which is not allowing the person to actually see it.
Yeah.
Is that Gnevis Das? Or is it just not telling them there's a problem in the first place?
I think selling a house as a good house, you're selling a house on the auction as a good house, will also be a problem with the Gnevis Das to a degree. A massive problem. It's a problem with the Gnevis Das.
You said of your boiler.
Yeah.
If you don't mention that, would that be Gnevis Das?
No, so in my case, the boiler must be fair. It happened 4 years beforehand. The seller had no idea. The lady had gone to an old age home. The seller had gone to a plumber and said, listen, sort the house out because mum's going to an old age home. We don't know for how long. They had drained all the water out of it, and then the plumber, Brev Chachmose, or you might call it Tipshuse, cut the pipe. So they had no idea. It was in the loft. They never go into the loft, you know. They had no idea what was going on in the house. They had no idea. And even if they would have, they wouldn't have seen it. It was only once, you know, the water came down to the bottom. My plumber went up to the loft and starts looking, digging around. He says, oh, I see now what the problem is. I've never ever seen this in all my years. Yeah. He's an older fellow.
So not being the Gnevis Das. It's just like that. That was not something you could have foreseen.
Let's just say you knew about this issue before you sell. Right, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's a couple grand. If you're selling a house worth half a million.
Yeah, but it's a mum. It's a defect. It doesn't matter about the value. It's a problem with it, the house. And you've got your
central heating. With central heating.
There's a window missing. There's a couple of slates missing on the roof. And that would be a problem with the neighbor's dad. Now, a couple of slates on the roof or a window, all you'd have to do is pay the money the buyer can fix it. So it might be a problem with the neighbor's dad if you know about it and you're not clear with him beforehand. But the mechatos will be, it won't be mechatos, but it will be mechatos. I'm saying you'll have to pay for it because, you know.
Is that something specific with houses? With car cars, is it stamazoid?
No, it's
general
thing. I think with the car, the air conditioning would be a good example. Without the air conditioning, we bought a Toyota Yaris, I think it's going back 3 years, for my brother, and the Schwarzer told us, yeah, it's got air conditioning. The fan that tried its best to blow air, and sometimes blew hot air on a good day, definitely did not count as air conditioning. Now, so I would have thought that's a mecca, I would have thought that's a mumba mecca, when he tells me, he stipulates clearly, yeah, there's air conditioning, and I guess
it's not working.
Yeah, but what I mean to say is, I think that in that case, all his chivas would be, if I'd have gone back to that fellow for £1,050, his little green Toyota Yaris, I think his obligation would only be is to fix the air conditioning, because it's not on a
central...
Yeah, that's a different problem. There's no extra to start with. All that happened was, I've got a feeling one of his cousins stood inside and blew there. That was all that was going on inside. So you can't fix anything like that.
Put mice in front of the fan.
but I'm saying that's all his aschaivus would be, is to fix the air conditioning, because it's not, it's essentially a car without air conditioning. Yeah. And nevertheless, I think it could be that if you bought a good car, you take a very fancy car that costs £50,000, £60,000, and it's missing the air conditioning. Let me ask you. I mean, it's not. I think I've given the halachas over well enough. Do you think that a very good car is simply a car, or it's a luxury sort of a?
The more expensive it is, the less defects you would expect to find in
but
it.
But not only less defects. I think it's an essentially. It's not that thing. Yeah,
that's why you buy.
No, I think it's not because you want it. Because it's the question is that what it is? Is a car without air conditioning? A car without air conditioning is a car. Yeah. Once it's a car without air conditioning, a house without slates, a house without windows, a table without the fittings could be.
But £50,000. Yeah. £50,000 car. Yeah. Which is not got air conditioning. It's not a £50,000 car.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
And therefore, it's just got no value in itself.
Yeah, and then I think you won't be able to just pay for the repair. I'm not sure where the level would level itself out. But once it loses a table that is missing a leg or the wobbly table, it's not you won't be able to just pay to fix the table. I don't think it's a table, and therefore it's a.
Doesn't affect the main part of what the car is. Who's got a chiv to take it back?
What's it, what do you mean by taking it back?
You buy the safer, you buy the strong, you come back to the UK, and you suddenly realise the page the Max has got his page missing.
Right.
Is it for the coiner to have to send it back again? Or does the Mac, or does the Mac have to, the money had got to say,
it depends. If he was in the shop and I told the guy, I'm buying the machzor, I live in England, I'm here on holiday, and I'm buying the machzor, and I'm taking them back to England. He calls up from England, he calls up the shop, and he tells them the problem with the machzor, come and pick it up. And the same thing is also where we talk about where you buy seeds, and you plant them in the ground, so you don't have to go and dig them out, and they're broken seeds, you don't have to go and dig them up, because the guy knows that's what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
So much so as if I buy goods from you, and I tell you I'm buying them to sell. So now in the goods business, and I'm taking them to Australia to sell, and I get to Australia, and I find out that they're faulty. The whole thing is faulty. I can't sell them. So if the seller knew, let's say the seller didn't know. Let's take the simple case: seller didn't know. So it's exactly the same as the previous case where he told the guy he's taking them to Australia. All he does is he picks the phone. And he says, "Listen, come and pick your stuff up." But if the seller knew they were selling faulty items, besides the problem of the name is Das, the seller also has to pay me dinner de garmi for the way there to Australia. I went specially to them.
Consequential loss.
Yeah. I based on you gave me faulty items. You knew I was only going to Australia to sell these items. And therefore.
And would he have had to have stipulated that when he bought the products he was going to go to sell them in Australia?
Yeah, because otherwise he's not even he's mechuyev to bring it back as well. Otherwise, if you
told him I'm buying these products to sell them in Australia.
Yeah, but I think you'd also have to explain to him. It's not just depends what the products are. It means if you sometimes the person's going on holiday and he wants to, it's going to cost him £20,000 to go on this grand holiday. So he wants to, mitigate his financial loss on this grand holiday. So he does a bit of business on the side. So there he can't claim the whole holiday back from the guy that he bought it. But if he's going
there specifically,
no, he's only
if he's going on a business trip.
Then he would have to. Then it'd be dinner to Gambia, and he'd have to pay for the.
And at what point are you to say he's flying business class? He booked in a 5-star hotel.
Okay, depends. It depends also what's normal. Depends what he said. If it's normal for him to go business class, it's normal. The seller understands. This is what he's buying schmatters and he's flying business class. Some guys do very well. Rather, some guys do very well on schmatters.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Sometimes the guys in property do it. Not so good. The guys in schmatters really make it.
But that would only be consequent losses which is incurred in doing it. But the profit he would have made, presumably, nobody would ever have to pay.
Yeah. I mean, there is a case of overvalue evidence if the guy stipulates.
If I go to Australia.
No, Reuven hires Shimon. If someone hires me and I tell him if I don't work, I'm going to pay you £100 a day because that's what your profit margin would be, and I don't work, then it's not called an asmachta. Mm-hmm. And the Sivus also wants to build on that in numerous places about Zalshvat, about that's also considered the profit share because that's what's understood and that's what more they're stipulating and all that thing. Yeah. Okay.
So if you're working on a commission basis or something like that, might be different again.
But only really if
it's all stipulating very clear.
Yeah, also good at stipulating. A lot of the other Achrayim Ksois doesn't like the Zalshvat business. I mean, the overlap is shaking for Shigmora. If you hired me to work on your field or you hired me to be management and I tell you beforehand, if I go away and I just mess around, then I'm going to pay you for your loss of profits, and I'd have to pay for those loss of profits. That's
because
clear.
That's quite clearly built into a contract as well, that done profit.
The question is, how much do we build on that? Right. What level of skyscrapers we go from there? So there are certain things also that we consider that's normal. That's what you're expecting to buy. We talk about this, if someone buys a servant back in the day, and they're gamblers and they drink, and the Shukhnar goes through all these sorts of cases. You can't go back and say that's a mum in the Mekah. That's what a servant is. But nevertheless, if he has other problems which are not regular, so I think when it comes to buying, I mean, this is one of the big talks, when you buy a second-hand car. So over here, he's definitely right that people are expecting to find some problems. The question is, what level of problems are you expecting to find? It gets very, very complicated, and there's numerous din Torah about these sort of things, because it's going to have some problems. You don't expect it to find that the engine is faulty and it gives up the two days afterwards.
The price, even if the...
Has some reflection.
Yeah, I'm saying even if you didn't specify that it's got problems, but you sold it at a price which would indicate it's in bad condition, without saying explicitly.
Depends how, what sort of indication. I mean, servants, in essence, it's a problem. A second-hand car, in essence, that's what it is. If you didn't stipulate, and it's a bit open-ended, and it's like...
If you look at Northern Trade, for example, you look at Northern Trade and it tells you fair price, good price, a blue price, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, but then you've...
So there you've already got... So if you see a car which should be selling for X, and they're offering you for very, very cheap, is your mindset not going to be if it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true.
Yeah, fine.
And therefore, you might have a dath, therefore, and that would be machine in that.
Yeah, but the question is, we're going to fall back to our original question. If I stipulate, I'm selling you on condition you're not going to come back to me that there's defects in it. We mentioned previously there's three svaras, and I think the svara I would like to go with, at least I feel that's what Shach is going with, is Pshat is that I'm not moichel above a certain level. I have das. That it's this level, and always as a buyer, I mean, although he's telling me to be a bit more sane and be more sensible, but that most people as a buyer are always expecting to get a good deal. Lav Dafka, top deal, Lav Dafka, they're not expecting the impossible, and I think they're reasonable, they're, you know, realistic, but to a level they're expecting a good deal. So even though he's expecting, it's going to reflect the price,
but it's well below the price. Yeah,
but where are we going to kill it? And let's say, for example, you've got a car, and normally that car goes for 20 grand, and it's going for 5.
Yeah.
So it's very clear it has defects. Yeah. What level? Where do we kill it at? So it has another air conditioning. Yeah. I tell the guy honestly, you can see it costs 5,000. Definitely the air conditioning is broken. Yeah. Okay, the exhaust rattles. Okay, the steering wheel has problems.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Okay, what about the Bluetooth doesn't work and the central locking doesn't work, and you've got to open each door. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, and what about somewhere in between? And I think very simple defects would definitely fall into that. It's clear, it's been workable.
Their property should be half a million. Yeah. Instead of 250.
Yeah.
But there's a serious defect, so, you know, the case we said before is your moth. Would that be a case of being indicated in the price?
It's indicating, but again, to what level? That means that I can come back as the buyer and say I expected it to have problems of X, Y, Z. This problem I never dreamt it was going to have. So you've got to be very clear. You've got to be transparent. Mm-hmm. Say all the problems it has, and then you say I'm not showing the chalai. No, I'm not showing the chalai. Make a toss, and you
so put what's there.
Say it clearly. Be transparent, and you're good to go. Yeah. And then, to be fair, when you have, you can be cutthroat in business, and you'll know this better than I do. Yeah, you can be cutthroat in business and make each deal as a separate deal. But you're gonna have to find a new client every single time, or you could be honest and you could be well known, as an honest deal. And I know there was a company in Israel that for years he wasn't a frum fellow, and he used to sell the plastic in the disposable industry. And he used to put in every pack of the cups, he'd put like 95, 96, mm-hmm. whatever it was. And that was part of his modus operation, and that's how he used to make part of his money. Until one day he found out there's halachas of Geneva, Gzela, or Gibbat Shuva. And he, you know.
He put extra in and he got.
Yeah, and he,
finish the story.
And he went to Ashra Bliashra told him he should put a few extra in. and he'll be good and he'll put a few extra in, and then they won't, and that'll be his tshuva to give back to everybody else. Yeah. And some time later, there was like this: the company was checking up all the companies in Israel, so they checked up, they put a list in the newspaper, and so there's one company. So see these companies put 96, 95, whatever it is. This company put 100. There's one company you'll never find them being dishonest. And here they give like 105, and in that case, everyone went to him, and he got his. I just want to finish off with one fascinating thing. I'll say two things. There's a moitz mechaber v'ra'ah. Generally, we mentioned earlier. Where's the burden of proof? Who has to bring the proof? And where, you know, you find a defect now that we don't know it was here, it wasn't here. And normally, we say a moitz mechaber v'ra'ah, and we say kan nimtza kan haya. If you find a defect today, it happened here. And therefore, if you've not paid yet, Hamoitz Mechavel of Araya as a buyer will obligate me to pay, and then claim the money back. But there are items that go bad quickly, perhaps fish. I mean, the Gemara talks about cheese. There's all sorts of things. I had a good example earlier. I think also a old secondhand car. I think would be a good example as well. Yeah, things are constantly going bad with these things, and we don't say kan nimtza kan haya over here. It happened here, and we say it could very well be it happened by the, you know, these things. It's generally going to go wrong. I mean, an old second-hand car. I mean, a 25 plate that's gone down to 23 plate. A very old car. You know, a Toyota Yaris, a 4 plate. You know, whatever it is. Yeah, and therefore we say that hamoitz mechal v'ra'ah, depending who is still holding on to the money. And if the buyer is holding onto the money, the seller will have the burden of proof to be able to take it out of him. It'll be that way of Moitz Mechel Araya. Because we say it could be happened by you, it could be happened by me. We don't say, Kanimsa Kanoya, over here it happened, that's what we found, that's where it happened. So there's one last thing that I'd like to finish off with, that's where we are. I have no idea. I'm set. Until now, we talk about selling it and just with a little bit of neighbor's das and is it wrong and whatever. Fine. But I have no idea that I'm selling a problematic thing. I've no idea. Is there still the halacha? Let's take
the Amazon middleman.
Yeah, the middleman. The middleman sold something, and the buyer at the end. The case thing more is where he sold a cow that didn't have teeth, and the end buyer, and he only had it for a single day in his possession, and he sold on. It was like in the marketplace, a trader, and he bought from him, he sold to him, and he wasn't just a flipper. He actually flipped things, bought things, and sold them off. And the last guy didn't know the cow didn't have teeth, he didn't give him ground up food, and the cow died. And now he wants to come back and say, listen, why didn't you tell me? He knows that he couldn't tell him, I want my money back. And the middleman, is machlokes aposkim, whether or not he has the right to be able to say, well, it's your fault. You knew I was a trader, middleman. You knew that I have these sort of situations. Why didn't you check the cow out and then give it back to me? But that's definitely clear in a case where there's no obligation on the final buyer. So in a case, for example, where he sold him a gold ring, and he found it after, it's not gold, it's iron, it's tin, it's whatever it is, that he has, that even if the middleman had no way of knowing, then the buyer can still come back to the seller. So even though you had no way of knowing, you sold me a faulty item, I'm getting my money back. He's got no way of finding his money, that's his problem. You can't sell me a faulty item. Whereas on the flip side, where he sold him a tin ring and he found out later it's a gold ring, and he had no idea that it was gold when it's in his possession, the seller doesn't get anything. The flip side, because he never owned the gold, and that is like
he thought he was buying. He thought it was only
because he never owned. He thought he had tin. Yeah. He taka owned tin. He never owned the gold because the halachas v'shavas aveda is avuda mimenu mikaladam. It's lost from him. It's lost from everybody else. And therefore, on that flip side, it's quite interesting to see how each case.
You find that, for example, the modern day world, for example, antiques and things
yes.
like that,
yeah.
and they didn't.
Yeah,
I went to a British shop and I bought it for 10p, and because they didn't know what it was selling, I bought it and it's now worth thousands of pounds.
Yeah,
so the vendor can never say.
Yeah, yes, I know a case. There was a guy that called Rabbi Tumim. He was standing in a kosher shop, and he bought a bottle of whiskey. He went out and he checked online, what is this bottle of whiskey? And there had been these scenes like this batch had suddenly gone up in price tremendously. And this co shop was the only one that was unaware of it. They're still selling at 50. It was worth £200 a bottle or whatever it was. He went back to the shop, put all the bottles in his trolley, was about to go to pay, and then he called him up. And he told him you have a problem. Because not only do you have a problem of a quick nearest stout, you have a problem of Inor. You're underpaying. Underpaying is a problem. Mm. But that's because they own the whiskey. Their whiskey has gone up in value. Mm. Whereas if they had no idea what's in their shop and they never owned the antique, they only owned the cheap value. It wasn't their item that had gone up in value. They never owned the expensive antique. They owned the cheap item. Okay, that could be, it's slightly different than Case Antique because they actually own the antique and the boss can talk about it over here. He only owned a tin ring. He didn't own anything inside over here. Yeah. His item, he didn't know what it was worth. Yeah. Fine, but...
Is it good, presumably, is it okay?
Not every time. I think, I know it's presumed it's okay. Gnevis Das is a problem. Less so... Gnevis Das Bago is also a problem. We can't tell a goy that it's Schutten. It's not Schutten. Mechatos, I'm not sure. I think it borders on the neighbor, and therefore we can't. Yeah.
Sure.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you all again.